banished from him in front of him, and now he has another animal he wants to exchange in place of, say, the olah. Instead, he has an olah from him, and then the olah he wants to transfer onto that kedusha onto another animal. Then he goes ahead and he says, "Harizu tumarek shlamim." Instead of saying olah, he says this animal is in exchange for the shlamim. Shimon is mistaken what he says. And when we say there, afilu b'shogeg, afilu b'meid, that the tumura works. And since the tumura works, we say even when he made a mistake in what he said, we uphold his words. And we say that the new animal, the animal he's about to exchange, is a shlamim. Even though in his mind he wanted to make it into an olah, but when he went and made a mistake, he made the same as shlamim, he said it's still effective. So Beit Yamin says, just like it's effective by tumura, so too over in the beginning of hektesh, even though his statement isn't exactly what he meant, nevertheless, we're going to make it hektesh. When do we say a mistake can be effective in hektesh? That's by tumura when there's already hektesh here. When there's hektesh here, we're trying to expand or to exchange that hektesh that works. But when you're trying to establish for the first time the presence of hektesh, that you can't do by mistake. So mistakes are effective when there's already a presence of hektesh, but they're not effective when we're trying to establish hektesh for the first time. Now the Gemara asks, and this is really a good comparison, the Bishamai, mainly Gemara says, Tachantilachatiyom. A person goes ahead by Tumura and says, I want to make this exchange, but only after noon today. Not right now, but later on in the day. Mihabi a Tumura? Is it really a Tumura? What does that mean, Mihabi a Tumura? Is it really a Tumura? I mean, Haishata from that moment. Mean that, don't we wait, Ela Adamatichatiyom? Who? The Habi Tumura? Don't we wait until halfway through the day until it becomes a Tumura? So why over here are we saying that what she says will be established? So Gemara says, also over here, in our case, why don't we wait until his words are effective? So I'm going to explain to Gemara here. There's two Lashonos in the Mefarish, there's a Lashon according to Rashi. I'm going to explain it according to the first Lashon in the Mefarish, and according to the way Tosfos learns this Gemara. Just so you're aware, there is a second Lashon in the Mefarish that explains the Gemara opposite, and also explains Rav Papa, who's about to come up in the Gemara, differently. Alright, now, according to what we just read, by Tumura, Beit Shammai is comparing Tumura to Hektesh. Well, let's think about what happens by Tumura. By Tumura, he says, Harizu Tumura Shlamit. He wanted to make it into an Olah, he wanted to exchange the Olah into this animal, instead he exchanges the Shlamit. So what do we say? We say, the Shlamit, it becomes a Shlamit, even though that's not what he intended, but because that's what he said doesn't happen. So what do we end up doing? We end up upholding his words. We end up doing whatever he said. And so too by Tumura. If you said Tumura doesn't take effect until halfway through the day, so too over there we would say that Tumura only becomes effective halfway through the day. It doesn't become effective immediately because we go or we uphold exactly what he is saying. But that's not true here in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, when we're talking about Tov Hektesh, when he says Shor Shachor Sheyaseh Beitim Rishon, he says the first black ox to leave my house, that will be Kodesh. Instead, a white ox leaves the house. And what are we going to say? We're going to say now that the white ox is hektesh. If that's the case, that the white ox is hektesh, we're actually not upholding his words. We're actually undermining that which he said. Because we're saying, well, he didn't really mean the black one, he means just the first one that came out. How can you compare Tumura, where we are actually establishing or upholding that which he said, to our Mishnah, or to the case of Tov Hektesh, where we're actually undermining what he said. And we're saying, what he said is not necessarily dafko or effective. We're going to reinterpret his words, so we actually get some kodesh here with a different animal. How can you compare these two cases? So the Gemara says, and this is the answer of Rav Papa, Ela Amar Rav Papa. The Tosa says he could have written Ela Amar Rav Papa, because Rav Papa is not going to reinterpret the Gemara until this point. And the Gemara thinks that what it's the white one that is kodesh. That when Beit Shammai says hektesh, harayu hektesh, that means that the first one, the white one that came out, is hektesh. Gemara now challenged that from the comparison to Tumura, and then Ela Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa is going to say, no, it's not the white one, but the black one. Why is the word Ela missing here? Because there was no other Amora beforehand. It only used the term Ela. But Rav Papa's new position is undermining the position beforehand, but the position before this point was just Tama de Gemara. So therefore it doesn't say Ela Amar Rav Papa. But this is, Gemara should be read as if it says Ela Amar Rav Papa. At this point, Rav Papa says, no, the Kach Nemar Rishon, the Shiyese Rishon. Not literally the first one that comes out. When Beit Shammai says hektesh, they don't mean hektesh that the white one that came out first is hektesh. Otherwise, we're going to wait until the first black one that comes out. When the first black one comes out, that will be established as hektesh. Where it says, Ha Shor Shachor Kamor. He says in our Mishnah, Shor Shachor, which implies in the singular. Hey, if there's only one Shor Shachor, then how can you say he means the first of the black oxen? There's only one black oxen. be able to see them this way of an eye. I don't mean stopping medication when we have one black ox and this black ox. No, but there's three called the East Lay Drainal Plaza. No, he really has two or three oxen. And when he said reshown, he meant first of the black oxen that came out. Well, if that's the case, he means the first black of the black oxen that came out. And never to me hexation. Why does Beis Hillel disagree in this case? And Beis Hillel, this is not really a mistake anymore. We're just saying that what he meant, when he said the first one, he meant the first black one. And so why should Beis Hillel disagree? I said, so Beis Hillel may maintain, she yates a berisho mi ba'ilei. No, if Beis Hillel says if he really wanted to establish it, that it should be the first one that came out, or the first black one that came out, he should have said, she yates a berisho, right? He should have been a debate. That will come out first. So what's this? Either the possibility is that he shouldn't have said the word Beiti, or that's the possibility, and that's what the mistake is. Because what does this house have to do with this? It has to do with the first black one that comes out. They should have said, Sheyetze Berishon, or the possibility they should have said, Sheyetze Berishon, not Sheyetze Rishon. Rishon implies the first one. Whereas, Sheyetze Berishon, the one, means the one of others. And what's the others? The others are the other black ones. So, either case, Beis Hillel says, the language that he used does not imply that which Rapapa is saying, or that which Rapapa is saying in the names of Beit Shammai. And therefore, it will not be Kodesh in this instance. So that's the way the Gemara is read, both according to the second the Lashon and Tosfos, as well as the first Lashon and the Meforish. The Meforish has a second Lashon, which reads the Gemara almost the exact opposite. It says that the Gemara, until this point, is saying that only the white one will, only the first black one that comes out will be Kodesh. Rav Papa's position is that whichever one comes out first, whether it's black or white, is Kodesh. And then the Gemara, he has to reverse the gears of the Gemara to ask, well, is it when we talk about many black ones? The Gemara says, no, there's only one black one. But just so you know that this other interpretation of the parsha there, I don't think it's essential to the Gemara that's coming up. Say, Amalei Rabba mi Barnish, the Rav Ashi. Ha hekdesh b'tohusu, hekdesh b'kavanahu. Isn't the general principle that the Mishnah began with is that we have a mistaken hekdesh? And then the Mishnah says, Ketzad, what's the case of mistaken hekdesh? Well, over here, we're not talking about mistaken hekdesh over here. We're talking actually where he intends, what he intends to happen actually happens. He intended for the first black one that comes out to be hekdesh. And that's what we're going to say, according to Beis Shammai, the first black one does become hekdesh. So why are we talking about mistakes here? We are actually, because we're actually establishing what he wants. The Gemara says, no, the toes here is not toes to hekdesh, not a mistake in hekdesh, but rather, it's a toes in his speech. Mishum da'ate the jibure kamel, that his first statement is problematic. What does that mean, his first statement is problematic? So the Dibure Kama could either be the first word that he said was inappropriate, or we could say that our first reading of what he says was inappropriate. So either if he wanted to say, right, if he wanted to say the first black one, he shouldn't have started with the word short. Right? Why start with the word short if he really means black? He should say, Shakur, the black one that comes out first will be. The fact that he mentioned the word short, which is an ambiguous term to mean white or black, that is what made us, that language caused us to be mistaken in interpreting his position. Or, the first discursory reading of his statement of Shosha Koshi and statement of Beiti Rishon, that first glance at what he says would make us interpret it means the first one that comes out, no matter which color. And Shachor was just, he thought the black one would come out first. And then Gemara says, no, Shosha Koshi means literally the black, first black one that comes out and not any of the first ones that come out. So either way, the ta'ut here is not a ta'ut in hekdesh, mistake in hekdesh, but rather ta'ut in interpreting that which he said or in the way that he did say. And the Gemara says, well, based on this, you're suggesting that Beit Shammai believes that hekdesh to ta'ut ain't no hekdesh. If you make a mistake in establishing hekdesh, it's not hekdesh, because you're reinterpreting our Mishnah not to read that way. The Gemara says, well, if that's really true, don't we have upcoming Mishnayos, which seems to indicate the opposite? What does the Sari Beit Shammai hekdesh to ta'ut love hekdesh? Does Beit Shammai really hold that when you make a mistake, that's not. We have a Mishnah coming up. That what? Person takes the Nedar of Yerut, and then he gets the Taras Nedar for it, Beit Shiro, and then the Chacham is Matzah the Nedar, right? So they have been they already established or taken out designated animals to pay use for his Karbanot Nazir. Taysu Thirader, it goes back to being Chulin. So you see, Amu Beit Shiro, the Beit Shammai. So Beit Shiro over there says Beit Shammai. This is a good proof to our position. Isn't this a case where he made the hekdesh by mistake? I mean that he established these animals or designated them for his carbon nazir, and that was done on the wrong premise because what was the failure in his premise here is that he believed he was a Nazir. And therefore, when we undermine his Nazirut, so too does the hectation of his animals. And what does the Mishnah say? It says, it's here, but it's there. And we see that he goes out to be chulin. So Beit Hillel brings us the proof to their position that hectation of toes is not hectation. And they're asking Beit Shammai about that. Mechlau, from this we can infer the Sabri Beit Shammai, hectation of toes, Sabri hectation. The hectation by mistake is hectation. And if that's the case, why are we saying in our Mishnah that it's not? Elevate Hillel, who is the Pato? Now, really, the next Mishnah we're going to read. Truthfully, Beit Shammai does believe that Hektesh Ta'us is not Hektesh, just like Beit Hillel, or what we saw Beit Hillel said in our Mishnah. So now, when Beit Hillel went and asked the question, they made a mistake. They thought the position of Beit Shammai, Sabri, Samad, Beit Shammai, Shum, Hektesh Ta'us, Sabri, Hektesh. They thought the position of Beit Shammai in our Mishnah was because of Hektesh Ta'us. Right? And therefore, they asked, and Habi Hektesh, Ramadan, Beit Shammai, La, Mishum, Hektesh Ta'us. Our position in the Mishnah is not because of Hektesh Ta'us, but Mishum, Da'atet, Itibure. Because we thought Ta'ut here was not in a mistake in establishing Hektesh, but rather a mistake in his wording. Either, again, a mistake in understanding or interpreting his wording, or a mistake actually in his wording. It's very common. Now, based on this, the Gemara is now reading that our Mishnah right here, plus the next upcoming Mishnah, do not establish that Beit Shammai believes Hektesh to Ta'ut is a Hektesh. That everyone agrees that when you make a mistake in Hektesh, that is not Hektesh. What's the issue in our Mishnah? The issue in our Mishnah is about misinterpreting or the wrong phraseology that the person used, and that's a mistake. Not a mistake in Hektesh. In the next Mishnah, Beit Hillel seems to be asking Beit Shammai, bring the proof that you see from the Zir that was that Hektesh was held anal Hektesh, which implies that Beit Shammai held differently. Beit says, no problem with that. That's Beit Hillel's mistake. They thought that was the position of Beit Shammai, but that's really not the position of Beit Shammai. Now the Gemara says, well, don't we have another Mishnah coming up? Sorry, Beit Shammai, Hektesh Betelos, Glory Hektesh, is it really true that Hektesh Betelos is not Hektesh according to Beit Shammai? Tashma, we have another Mishnah coming up. Again, these upcoming Mishnayos are why the first Mishnah here in this Perek is found. The first Mishnah in this Perek has nothing to do with Nazir. The reason it's found here is because the next Mishnah that we just brought, the one we just brought above, talks about a proof from Nazir. And then the third mission is, again, a case of Hektesh Toast that deals with Nazirim. So this mission, even though it has nothing to do with Nazirut, is brought here as part of a package of Mishnayot that actually end up dealing with Nazirut. So now this next mission, Tashma Hayum Halkin Bezerev, they were going on the way, Echad Bakin Egzam, and they see someone approaching them. They see someone from the other side approaching them. Ba'amar Echad, Harini Nazir. The first one says that I'm a Nazir, Shizet Poni, that this is this person. So Tosus reads the Mishnah as reading that you're making a positive statement to establish that which you mean to say. You're giving a token by saying, I am a Nazir. If this is Tony, I want it to be true. I believe this is this person, and therefore I'm taking an evidence zero that it is this person. Whereas the Mefarish over here interprets it the other way around. He interprets it to be that I'm a Nazir if it is Tony, meaning that I believe it's someone else. And if it really is this person, then I'm a Nazir. That I'm so sure it's not this person that I'm saying that it's only a Nazirut if it is this person. He reads it in the negative form. But either way, this person is taking a Niz and a Zirut based on a position that he's taking. The other one says, I'm taking a Zirut again that it's not this person. So Tosus believes again to read means that I really believe it's not this person, and therefore I'm taking another Zirut that it's not this person. Whereas the Mefarish is reading, no, he believes it is this person. And when he says, there ain't another James Zephoni, that's not his position. It's the negative of his position. His position is that it is this person. When he says, I'm a Nazir, not this person, because I'm so sure I'm right, I won't be a Nazir. And then the next one says, I'm a Nazir, Shechem Mikem Nazir. The next one says, I'm a Nazir, one of you guys is a Nazir. And then the next one says, Shechem Echad Mikem Nazir. This one says, I'm a Nazir, if none of you, or one of you is not a Nazir. I mean, it's the opposite of the statement before. The next one says, Shechem Nazirim, that you guys are both Nazirim. And I'm a Nazir, both of you are Nazir. According to Tosfos, that's a positive statement. And both of you are Nazirim, then I am a Nazir. Whereas the Mefarish is going to read this, that I'm a Nazir if both of you are Nazir. Only if you both are Nazir, then I'm a Nazir. But I don't think both of you are Nazir here. And then the last one says, Shkukoka Nazirim. If all of you are Nazirim, then I am a Nazir. So again, this Mishnah will come up and we'll interpret it when we get to the Mishnah. I'm just pointing out the different ways that Tosfos and the Mefarish reads the Mishnah. But now, what do we see from this? The Beit Shammai Omrim, what does Beit Shammai say? Kulam Nizirim. All six of these people are Nizirim. Here you have Hektesh B'Tahus. because none of the, it's impossible for all their stipulations to come true, because they're taking opposite positions. If Dani still on the Zirim, and nevertheless, it says they're on the Zirim. You're right. Beit Shami does believe that Hektesh by mistake is a Hektesh, but of a Hakalo, but you can't prove that from our first Mishnah in the in Perek. So even though the other Mishnahs in the Perek seem to indicate that Beit Shami believes that Hektesh by mistake does establish Hektesh, nevertheless, the first Mishnah, even though the simplest interpretation of the Mishnah is that Hektesh Mitzel is a mistake and Hektesh will also establish Hektesh, nevertheless, that's not Mukhrach. You could read this first Mishnah to interpret it like Rav Papa did and say that the mistake here is not a mistake in the Hektesh, but rather a mistake in interpreting the statement of the individual, or a mistake in the way he phrased the statement, but not the regular type of, or normal type of Hektesh Tos that we find. Gemara agrees in the end that Beit Shammai believe that Hektesh Tos is Hektesh, that Hektesh mistake is Hektesh, but that's not necessarily the explanation for our Mishnah. So to summarize here, Rav Papa's position is that when this person makes a statement that I am that I make the first item that comes out of my house, the first black ox that comes out of my house is Hektesh, that we reinterpret his statement to mean not the first ox out of his house and he wants it to be black, but rather the first black ox that comes out, even if there are other oxen that come out before that, a white ox, a red ox, whatever comes out before that, they do not detract from the statement, and the first one is Hektesh means the black one is Hektesh and not the white one. Abai Amar, Lokasasadasko. No, you're reading the Mishnah wrong, the kind of Safro. We read the Mishnah that it's talking about in future tense, because the word Shiyete, it says Yud Sadi Aleph. You can read that, Shiyete. Elahapu B'mayaskina, and what's the case here? The kind of Tira, he's saying in the afternoon, and he's saying it in the past, saying Shiyasa. The first ox that came out of my house today should be Hektesh. And he thinks that the first one that came out of his house was a black ox. From Levavan Nafak, they said it wasn't a black one that came out, but rather a white one. Had I known it was a white one, I wouldn't have said black. I would have said white. So what is the Bayi trying to say? The Bayi is trying to establish that it's the white one that is Hektesh, not the black one that's Hektesh, but rather a white one. Ah, what are we going to do with this statement? He made a statement, Shiyasei shown. The first black one to come out will be Hektesh, and here a white one walks out. So we say, no, he's standing in the afternoon, and it doesn't mean Shiyasei in the future tense, but rather Shiyasa, it already came out. So in that case, we can say that this person made a mistake. Biriyato. He thought something happened, and he was wrong about his understanding. He thought the black ox went out of his house first, but that's not the case. It was really a white ox that went out of his house, but his intent was to be Makdish, the first ox that went out of his house. He just thought in his mind it was a black one. He thought he knew how his ox walked, or how the sounds of his ox, and he thought it was a black one. That's not what he's trying to establish. He knows that the first ox that's coming out of his house is Kodesh. Why can't you say the same thing by the future tense? She ain't saying maybe so be shown. Because in that case, we can't say that he's trying to mimakdish the animal no matter what. If he was really trying to establish mimakdish the animal no matter what, she should have just said, sure, she ain't saying maybe so be shown. The first one to come out of my house will be Hektesh. Once he puts the word shachor in there, when he's talking about the future tense, we can't say that he really meant anyone, and just shachor black was just what he thought would come out first. Because why? This guy's a Navi. He knows what's going to come out first. In that instance, there's no mistake in his shikul hadas. There's no mistake in what he thought happened or in his understanding here. The mistake is that he has no clue what's going to come out. In that case, we can't say that it was a ta'ut, a mistake. And even, it seems to be, because it says, even according to Beit Shammai, that would not be Hektesh when he's talking about the future tense. Because there's no mistake here. He phrased the whole thing inappropriately. But when we're talking the past tense, then we know that he wanted to make whichever ox came out first, Hektesh. He mentioned black, but that's what he thought had happened. When he found out it was white, he says, you know what, had I known it was white, I would have made the white one Kodesh also. So over there we see that it's clear that the statement that he made was just a mistake on his understanding. But now that he's trying to predict the future, trying to establish what's going to happen in the future. And therefore it's very similar to the case of the Nazirim, when they see somebody coming opposite them. They see some person approaching them, and they're all trying to gauge who that person is that's opposite them. And they make a mistake in there, I mean, they look at this person and they're mistaken or correct about who they see in front of them. So that's a mistake. They are interpreting information that's in front of them and they're making a mistake about it. So it's over here. He interpreted information. I mean, he had information about what he thought left his house first, and then he got that wrong. But in case where you're talking about future tense, there's no misinterpreting of information. We don't have the information yet. The ox hasn't left the house yet. Hasid Amar Nikai Bitira. Can you really eat Hasid? That we're talking about a case where he's standing in the afternoon. Because you said the word Yetzei, right? It's spelled Yetzei and Yatzar are spelled the same way. But the next two cases of Mishnah, that's not true. Vaktani Dino Shodav Shi Ya'aleh. That is written in the future tense that will come out of my pocket. It says, Omar, Yitani Sha'Allah. Amend the Mishnah not to read Sha'Allah, will come up, but Sha'Allah that already came out. Babicha Yan Shitzealeh, the third case in the Mishnah also says Shitzealeh in the future. Omar says, no problem, amend the Mishnah, Tani Sha'Allah, that already came out of my pocket. Again, we have two interpretations of the Gemara. This is the end of the first part of the Gemara, but between Rav Papa and Abaye, how to deal with our Mishnah? What's the mistake in the Mishnah? Why is it that the white oxen is Kodesh over here? Or if I drop up, why is the black oxen and Kodesh over here? The Abaye says, when Beit Shammai says, Hekdesh, they mean the white ox. How could it be the white ox? He said the black ox. So we say, no, he's talking about in past tense. It was after the fact he's talking about it. And he made a mistake about which oxen came out first. He thought it was a black one, but it had been a white one. He just wants to be Makdish, whatever came out first, as a test. That's the way Abaye explains their Mishnah. That's why Beit Shammai says it's Kodesh, because the love one is Kodesh, because that's what he really intended when the first one came out of his house, and he made a mistake. And Hillel Beit Hillel says that there's a mistake. There's no Kodesh here. There's no Hekdesh here, since there's a mistake. And therefore, nothing is Hekdesh. Whereas Rav Papa reads the Mishnah, continue to be in the future tense. But he says, when Beit Shammai means Hekdesh, they don't mean the white one is Hekdesh. They mean the black one. The first black one to leave is Hekdesh. That way we establish what he said. We uphold that's what he said, which is that the first black one to come out will be a Kodesh, even though others came out before that, and we're going to have to overlook those that came out first from his house. Nevertheless, Beit Shammai says that's Hekdesh because we misinterpreted his word. We didn't understand what he meant. He really meant the first black one. He just didn't phrase it so well. Beit Shammai says, if that's really what he meant, he should have said, she is to be Rishon. He should have phrased it properly. If he didn't phrase it properly, they're not Hekdesh. Now the Gemara goes on by a statement of Rav Chisda. Amar Rav Chisda, there's a machlokas here between the Tosafot and the Mefarish, what the Girsha should be over here, but not even the Mefarish, but the other Rishon, what the Girsha should be. Amar Rav Chisda, Ukma b'Tfiyur Lakya. Everybody agrees this, that if you have a black ox among white oxen, that black ox is either less, is of less value, meaning that white oxen are better than black oxen, or this black oxen degrades the whole herd that's there. I mean, if you try to sell them, this black ox is going to ruin the white ones that are there, because the black ox is not as good as a white ox. That's the first statement of Rav Chisda. Second statement of Rav Chisda, whether it needs to be, or this Gemara, our Gemara doesn't really deal with this second statement, that's why I question whether it belongs here or not. If you have a white splotch on a black ox, that's also a negative, or it makes the ox, it implies that the ox is weaker. So even though white is better than black, that's only when you have pure white oxen. But if you have a black oxen with white splotches on it, that is not considered to be a minor, but actually it detracts from a black ox. So if you looked in order now, if you were to set them up, you'd say white ox is best, then a black ox, and then below them would be a black ox with a white splotch. And that would be the ordering of the value of oxen. So why is that important? Because of our mission, it's not. Of course, she is be shown Hekdesh. I said that the black one that comes out of my house first is Hekdesh, or she has some, basically a point to Abaye. So this question really is only pointing to Abaye, who says that the white one is Hekdesh, not the black one. He tats up, but that's what we think, that we believe he Makdesh, Ryan, Royal Makdesh. When a person makes Hekdesh, he tries to be Makdesh that of the least value, meaning that he wants to give the least possible. So he's going to give the least possible over here, Rami Ben Shami, Abaye Hekdesh, that the white one. Here he intended to make a black one Hekdesh, and then he ends up making a white one Hekdesh. What is worth more? According to Chisda, the white one is worth more than the black one. So if he said black, and now we're thinking that the white one is Hekdesh, we're actually upgrading, we're making something that's worth more Hekdesh here. And how could that be? If we believe when a person makes Hekdesh, Ryan, wrong Hekdesh, it must be that Chisda is wrong. That white ones are not better than black ones, because otherwise why would we upgrade him if we believe people are mitzamtamim, they give the least amount possible? When people give, they give generously. That means that when they give an ox, if they were to give a black ox and a white one was better, and it turns out it's a white one, he'd be willing to give it because that's an upgrade. And he's willing to upgrade when it comes to Hekdesh. Then what are you going to do with the next line in the Mishnah? Dinar shall love Shiela Biyazi Rishon. I want to give a gold coin. All our testament said silver comes out. Well, if he really wants to be the most generous and he said, excuse me, he says gold coin, why should silver coin be good? They try to make Hekdesh. How could that work? Ella my vine yoro at Makdesh. So what are you going to say again? That we're telling people give in the least fashion possible, in the most miserly way. And what are you going to do with the last case in the Mishnah? Chavit shal yayin, shetaleh v'yadi rishon, the first barrel of wine that comes out will be hektish balal shel shemen. Instead, oil comes out, and oil is worth mechayim mechtesh, and oil is worth more. So here you intended for wine, and instead ended up oil. Ba shemen adif miyayin, and oil is worth more than wine. If oil is worth more than wine, then why are we upgrading here if we believe a person gives in the least way possible? So you might say, Zim Shum Havo Kasha. If that last case in the Mishnah is a question, we don't have any problem. The Galil Shana, we're talking about in the Galil, the Chamra Adif Mishnah. In the Galil, there was plenty of oil and not a lot of wine. So therefore, wine was worth more than oil. Therefore, when he gives, excuse me, we're going to interpret the Mishnah and say when a person gives, he gives in the least way possible. Alright, so in the last case in the Mishnah, we're going to talk about it came from the Galil. And therefore, when he said, I'm going to give wine, and instead he ends up with oil, that's a downgrade. So we're fine with that because he's giving the least possible. Number two is the second case of Mishnah where he says, I'm going to give a gold coin, instead he ends up with a silver coin. That's good also because he's also downgrading there. He said, I want to give gold, instead he gives silver. So he's minimizing what he's giving. That we believe behind Rol Makdish. But now, what are you going to do with the first case? Ratio Kasha Rukhista. The first case of Mishnah is going to be a problem for Rukhista. Because there he said, black oxen. And instead, we're going to make him have a white oxen be Kodesh. In that case, it's an upgrade and not a downgrade, because Rav Chisda believes white oxen are worth more. So I'm going to call Rav Chisda, Gyami B'Torah D'Karmanai. When I said my statement, I'm talking about Torah D'Karmanai. So Torah D'Karmanai, two possible interpretations. The Mephorish explains Torah D'Karmanai means Torah, a shore of Harisha. That's a ox that's used for plowing. When I said my statement that white's better than black, that's only in oxen that are used for plowing. But that's not true of other oxen. That's one possibility. Or Tosa says the Torah Karmanai means they come from this place called Karmanai. This is particular to these type of oxen, these special type of oxen that come from Karmanai. The whites are better than black. But that's not a general statement about oxen. Alright, now Rav Chisda, Ukma the Mashpe. We have another statement, Rav Chisda, that Ukma, black oxen are good for their skin. Sumka, red oxen, Lepistre, are good for meat. Mechnura, white ones, Laragio, for plowing, for Harisha. So therefore we see what? Bahama Rapista, Ukma Bakiro Lakyo. Here we think what? That black is not good among the white ones. So after over here we see that he says the black ones are better for certain things. We think white is better, meaning that it should be better in its entirety. I mean especially since right the we would think that the fact that it's white overcomes everything. And therefore there shouldn't be anything that a black ox is worth more because the value of the Kiro is more. When he made that statement, it was only about an oxen for Harisha. That's the way the Mephorish learns, meaning that you're right. This is in tune with what Rav Chisda said. Torah D'Karmanai are plowing oxen. And plowing oxen, we say that white trumps black. That's not a general statement about oxen. Other oxen, black oxen, red oxen, have their milos. And each one of them will have their own milos. According to the Tosafot, meaning Torah D'Karmanai, this is unique to the place of Karmanai, where the white ones are better, even though black ones in general are better for their skin. Nevertheless, here we have this place, Torah Karmanai, are better in its entirety. From the white ones are always better, and it overcomes anything that black oxen are better than. But in general, if you want to make a general statement from Mecca from Memkar, then black oxen are for their skin, red oxen are for their meat, and white oxen are for plowing. Okay, now we're going to continue with the Mishnah. We quoted this Mishnah earlier in our Gemara today, and now we're going to try to understand it. Mishnah Dar Ben Nazir, the person took a Nedar Nizirot, Benishal HaKham. Right, and he went to get a Hataras Nedarim from the Chacham, but Asro, and the Chacham went ahead and said, no, it doesn't, you can't have Hataras Nedarim. So what happened in the interim? I mean, in Pasha, they said, no, Mo Nevi Shash Nedar. He counts from the first day he took his Nedar Nedarim, he counts and he continues his Nedar Nedarim. Obviously, that's Pasha. If he just went ahead, he took a Nedar Nedarim, he's keeping his Nedarim, he goes to get Hataras Nedarim from the Chacham, Chacham says, no, then he just continues with his Nedarim. That's already too easy. What's the case here? The case here must be that until the point he went for a Hataras Nedarim, he was violating his Nedar Nezirut. How was he violating his Nedar Nezirut? So the Mephorish says that he was drinking wine and being metame the Metim. I think that the metame the Metim is very difficult to explain here because if he actually became Tameh, then Ayamim Arishon Nim Yiflu, the first days fall away, and therefore it wouldn't make sense that he would just continue to count. So the Tosfos over here explains that simply that he shoteh b'yayin. So let's go with that interpretation, that he's drinking wine, he's violating his Nezirut by drinking wine. Then he goes, and he goes to Chacham, and he says, I want to get Hataras Nedarim. So maybe the Mephorish understands this, is that he's trying to have Chorot, he has Chorot on his Nedar, and he wants to get Hataras Nedarim. Didn't, no Hatara, and you have to keep counting. That's the way the Mephorish learns. The Tosus, on the other hand, we know from Beit Shammai and other places, that Beit Shammai says, ain't Shelah b'Hekdesh, and ain't Shelah b'Nezirut. They don't believe you can have Hataras Nedarim by Nezirut. So the case here must not be that he's trying to get Hataras Nedarim, but rather He took a snippet of the roots with a funny lashon. He took it with a questionable language. And what we're trying to establish here is going to come to find out if the language that he used is really efficacious in creating the Zeroots or not. I mean, that did it work or not? So he goes to the Chacham, and the Chacham says, yes, it worked. The lashon you used is the real full-fledged Nazirut, and now you're a Nazir. Now he doesn't have to go back and count the days that he was violating the Nazirut by drinking wine. He just counts forward to complete his Nazirut going forward. Now this also fails by Shammai. Why? Because now our understanding of the Mishnah is not whether it's a question of Hataras Nazarim by Nazirut, it's a question whether there ever was a Nazirut here. Was there a Nazirut or not? So that's the question ahead. Even if Beit Shammai is going to agree, when you never took the Nazirut with the proper Lashon, that's not a Nazirut. And therefore, even Beit Shammai can agree on this case. Now, Nisha Lachacham Beit Yiro. On the other hand, if you had Shailas Chacham, and they were Matir Nezer, Haithalo Behemoth. Now, Nisha Lachacham Beit Yiro, according to the way Tosfos is learning, not literally that he got a Taras Nazarim, but rather that he went to the Chacham. The Chacham tells him that the Lashon you used does not create a Nazirut. You used an inappropriate language to create a Nazirut. The idol of Ham Mifresh, he already has an animal that was established or designated to be for his covenant of Nazir, he said, if you have Nazir, it goes to be Chulin. Why? Because there was a mistaken, the Hektish here was making it on a mistaken premise. So I'm a Bezil of Beshamai, so now Bezil says to Barsam, it's a Mosim Badesh, you have fish toes. Here we have a case where the person made the animal Hektish by mistake, because he had made it for his Nazir, but he's not a Nazir. Should taste the Nazir. Nevertheless, when we find out it was a mistake, we say that this animal goes out to be Chulin. Does not remain in as a Nazir. Why should that be? You believe, Beit Shammai, that Hektish the Toes have Hektish. So the answer Beit Shammai could have given over here is basically how we interpreted it according to Toes with the Mishnah. Right? The answer here is simply that the mistake here is different than a normal mistake. In the cases of other mistakes that we're talking about, right, we have the person trying to establish Hektish, and then he got some of the facts wrong, something that there was a mistake in the way. Over here, the mistake made it that the Nazirus never even took effect. The Nazirus never took effect. Then the Hektesh of the Behemoth also doesn't take effect. There was nothing done here that was efficacious at all. There was nothing done that established a Nazirus over here. They could have answered this, but instead, Beit Shammai tries to bring a counterproof to Beit Hillel, and they'll answer that in the simplest way possible. Beit Shammai, yes, the Modim, the Mishatah, the Karnachi Asiri, the Karnachi Asiri, Shumakudash. So here we're talking about Meister Behema. In Meister Behema, you have the animals walk out of the corral one by one, and every tenth one he paints and says that's Kodesh. What happens is by mistake he called the ninth one the tenth one, and he strikes it and puts the shaven on, or he paints it to say that this is Meister Behema. Or he made a mistake and called the tenth one, what really was the tenth one, he called that one the ninth one. Or he makes a mistake and he says the 11th one is the tenth one. In all these cases, everybody agrees, Shehu Mukdash, Mukudash, right? That it is Kodesh. So here you see where he makes a mistake, and yet it's still Hektesh. So this seems to support the position of Beit Shammai. So when you make Hektesh by mistake, then it really is Hektesh. Zamalam Beit Hillel, no, Hashemet Kincho. No, over here, it's not the fact that it was a mistake that worked to make the Hektesh. Why? How can I prove that to you? Mat Yehuta Veniyach HaTashem Elashemini Velashemetzar. If he went ahead and made a mistake with the 8th one, he called the 8th one the 10th one, or he called the 12th one the 10th one, right? Shemos the clue, maybe that would make it Hektesh. No, that doesn't work. It's only if you make a mistake by the 9th and the 11th one that is Hektesh. So what do we see from that? We see from that, it was Kotub Shekidesh Hashiv, who Shekidesh Hashiv, as Akhadasar. It's a Gzeres HaKotub. The Gzeres HaKotub over here is what? That? The Gzeres HaKotub over here is that the 10th one. And the 9th and 11th, you make a mistake about them, they are Hektesh. But it's not a general principle in Hektesh that what the mistake in Hektesh is always Hektesh. This is limited to the 9th and the 11th because that's the Gzeres HaKotub. So Beit Hillel says, you can't bring me a proof from Meister Behema Beit Shammai. That's not a good proof. All right, in the end, this is also not the proof why Beit Shammai believes that Hektesh Toast is Hektesh, because we already had that earlier. The reason Beit Shammai believes that Hektesh Toast is Hektesh, they learned that out from Timurah. The last question that we have on this Mishnah is that we had a Mishnah earlier on. The Mishnah earlier on says that if the Baal is Mefer for his wife, that the animal that is Mefureshet, right, does not go out to Chulin. Why is it over there when the Baal is Mefer, it doesn't go out to the Chulin, whereas over here, in our case over here, where we're Matir the Ned there, it goes out to Chulin. So the simplest answer is that we believe, or the Mishnah over there believes, that Baal Migos Goyf. That when a Baal is made for the nether, he's only prospectively being wiping or nullifying the nether out, but that which happened until this point was still good, if that's the case. When the woman made the Hema Hektesh, right, that was a good Hektesh, because she was in the Zira. That's one possibility. Then Tosfos says, even according to the one who believes that Baal Mi Aker Aker, that a Baal works the same way that a her as Hakam works. Nevertheless, over here we would say that she's still, that over there, then Behema is still Kodesh, because over there she still needs from Rabbi Lazar HaKapor. That was according to Rabbi Lazar HaKapor, who says that you need a Chatos because the Tzirat Momin Ayayim, but the Chachamim disagree. Our Mishnah is according to the Chachamim over here, but the Mishnah over there is according to Rabbi Lazar HaKapor. Over there, Rabbi Lazar HaKapor believes, even though that the Baal is Miakar Akar, unless the Chatos is still valid. Why is the Chatos still valid? Because she's Tzirat Momin Ayayim, even though in the end her nether is not in fact, she still was Mitzara Asma from Ayayim, and therefore she needs to bring the Chatos. And that's why the Chatos remains, it has to go out the Miso. Whereas over here, in our case, over here, this is like the Chum. The Chum believe you don't bring the carbon. If you're not a Nozer, you don't bring a carbon. And the Tosus brings a third possibility. What's the difference? And this is based on a Shita. The very large Tosus in the Chum Beis Aleph tried to establish a Shita that there will be a difference between Akira Tabal and Akira Tachachum. That the Akira Tachachum works in a way where the Nether was a Tosus Sagamri. It was a total mistake and never ever takes effect. Whereas when it comes to the woman, when we say the Baal is an Akar, undermines it retroactively, it's true that the Baal has that right. That's a right given to him by the Torah. But to say that the woman took a Neder Zira from a mistake, that's not true. She really intended to take a Neder Zira, just her husband has veto rights. In that case, even if we say Baal is an Akar, retroactively eliminates it, we're going to still say that the woman, that Neder Zira was affected for a second. Was affected for a second, and the husband wipes it out. Even if we go back to Akar. So the Akira of the Baal will be different than the Akira of the Chacham. By the Akira of the Chacham, it's as if the Nether never existed at all, because it was a total mistake. Mi'ikaru. And therefore, that's why over here, the Behemoths go out to Chulin. Because by the woman, when the Baal is made fair, even though it's an Akira, it undermines the Nether of the woman. Nevertheless, for a second, the Nether took effect. And the next second, that makes it enough that when she's maktish with the hemot, there was an effective nether to be them to be connected with, and therefore these behemot will be kodesh and not just go out to chulin. Just to point out that the Tosfos on Chum Beis Amud Aleph rejects this pshat. It's a very difficult pshat because the Gemara just before that on Chavaloth or Chav said that was the nafkamina between Miakar and Akar and Mikos Goyim. The exact nafkamina is whether the nether is established or not established. That makes a very difficult interpretation. But that's three ways to learn the difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah we had earlier on. Okay, we'll stop here.